So you'll notice in the bulletin that there's a blurb about the Uganda presentation from last week, and it didn't get recorded for the website, but now I just got told just a few minutes ago it is on the church website. So if you want to view it again, if you want to send it on to someone else, or just tell somebody what the church website link is, they'll be able to get that and be able to view that. If you have any questions about that, see me, or the better person to see would be Don Grimes. And so we'll be able to try to answer those questions for you. Becky and I will be on vacation beginning Friday of this week, and we will be gone until August 26th. So Jared is going to be preaching those Sundays that I'm gone. Now, I know that when the cat's away, the mice have a tendency to play. So I don't want to come back and have Jared say,
"It's party
Pastor,
time.
Nobody showed up to hear me preach." I don't want to find that. He will do a great job. You will be blessed by listening to what God has laid upon his heart to be able to share with us during those two Sundays that we are gone. Also, should you need pastoral help during that time that I am gone, you can call one of our elders, either Robert or Jared, and they'll be able to help you as well. Everybody understand? All right, great. What a great morning, isn't it? I am so glad that God has brought every single one of us here. So let's worship today. Amen? And let's Amen. Worship with the fullness of all that we are. Let's not hold anything back from him, because he is worthy of our worship. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
Let's go.
Would you all stand with me this morning? The first song we're going to sing, it's called Greater. And some of the words say, I can't thank you enough. I can't give you enough for all you've done. And we're talking about Jesus here. What has he done for us? He's paid the way for eternal life. And he's given that to us as a free gift by grace through faith. So, as we sing this song, as you think about these words as we sing this, I want you to focus on worshiping God today for how amazing he is. All right? All right, let's do it. Oh, the priceless gift you are to me. The mountain of my sin you washed away. Oh, the miracle you made of me. The shadow of my night you turned to day. And I'm in awe of how much you love me. I'm so in awe of how much you love me. I can't thank you enough. I can't give you enough for all you've done. You have loved me so much. You're more than enough. And I will live to worship you alone. 'Cause you are greater than any other love. You are greater than any riches of the world. You are greater than anyone. And I will live to worship. I will live to worship you alone. Countless are the thoughts you have of me. My first and final days are in your hands. Unthinkable that you would call me friend. The words that you deserve could not exist. And I am in awe of how much you love me. I'm so in awe of how much you love me. I can't thank you enough. I can't give you enough for all you've done. You have loved me so much, you're more than enough, and I will live to worship you alone. 'Cause you are greater than any other love. You are greater than any riches of the world. You are greater than anyone. And I will live to worship. I will live to worship you alone. There's nothing that compares to you. No one can compare to you. There's nothing that compares to you. No one can compare to you. And I can't thank you enough. I can't give you enough for all you've done. You have loved me so much. You're more than enough. And I will live to worship you alone. 'Cause you are greater than any other love. You are greater than any riches of the world. You are greater than anyone. And I will live to worship. I will live to worship you alone. You alone. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Yes, grace that is greater than all our sin. Please be seated as we continue this morning. God is good, amen? That grace is really amazing. And it's what Jesus did on the cross that it can afford us that grace when we believe. Boy, doesn't he love you? Doesn't he love me? Wow. Let's tell him we love him back. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. Take joy, my King. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your I see the work of your hands, galaxies spin in a heavenly dance. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. And I hear the sound of your voice, all at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are, so overwhelming. I delight myself in you, captivated by your beauty. I'm overwhelmed by you. God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed by you. I know the power of your cross, forgiven and free, forever you'll be my God. All that you've done is so overwhelming. I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed by you. And God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed by you. You are beautiful, oh God, there is no one more beautiful. You are beautiful, God, you are the most beautiful. You are wonderful, you are wonderful. Oh God, there is no one more wonderful. You are wonderful. God, you are the most wonderful. You are glorious. You are glorious. Oh God, there is no one more glorious. You are glorious. God, you are the most glorious. I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. And God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed by you. I'm overwhelmed by you. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you that it's us who you've included in your plans, your future, your history, for your sake. Lord, help us to live up to that calling. We love you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our usher is going to take this morning's offering. I'm at my end, you're just getting started. When I hit a wall, you just walk through. When I face a mountain, you are the maker, so it's gotta move. When I'm out of faith, you are still faithful. When I'm at my worst, you are still good. In all of my questions, you are the answer. It all points to you. 'Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise, 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 yeah. Out of our wrongs, you write a story. Out of the cross come rivers of grace. Out of the grave burst a revival no tomb can contain. 'Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I've still got a reason to praise. Praise, praise, yeah. I've still got a reason to praise. Praise, praise. I've still got a reason to praise. When you come around dry bones, come to life, deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again, lungs stretch to breathe you in, souls just erupt into praise. When you come around, dry bones come to life, deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again, lungs stretch to breathe you in, souls just erupt into praise. Yeah. Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I've still got a reason to praise. Praise, praise, yeah. I've still got a reason to praise. Praise, praise. I've still got a reason to praise.
No, the title that's up on the screen is not a mistitle. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit works, isn't it? We could have sang that song we just sang after the message this morning. Because the message this morning is on conflict resolution. Well, by the way, we're still in Joshua. We're in Joshua chapter 22. So I don't want anybody to think that I've been prying into your business this week. And I know about all of the times when you didn't get along with people, whether it was at home or at work or in the community. I wasn't standing over your shoulder. I didn't have your picture on my desk as I was working on this message. This is totally given by God. And so, you know what? When we come to Joshua chapter 22, there's a conflict between some of the tribes of Israel and some of the other tribes of Israel. And so we're going to find out how that all turned out. What prompted the conflict, how it all turned out. Because wherever human beings are, conflict is unavoidable. Have you figured that out by now? Okay, I'm sure you have. There was a letter written to a neighbor. It reads, "Dear Frank, we've been neighbors for 6 tumultuous years. When you borrowed my rototiller, you returned it in pieces. When I was sick, you blasted rap music. And when your dog used my lawn as a bathroom, you just laughed. I could go on, but I'm certainly not one to hold grudges. So I'm writing this letter to tell you that your house is on fire. Cordially, Bob." Conflict is unavoidable, whether it's between neighbors, friends, spouses. Oh, now, Pastor, you went from preaching to meddling. Family members, co-workers, or even in a church family. So how do we resolve conflict in a way that is helpful? How do we find peace in a situation where there is tension for whatever the reason? Well, here in Joshua chapter 22, we're going to see how the nation of Israel attempted to avoid fighting with each other after they fought together and defeated the enemies in the land of Canaan. And so we're going to look this morning at a roadmap to conflict resolution. Are you ready for that? Here's the first stop on that map. Number one, expect tension when you interact with others. Expect tension when you interact with others. Now, don't go looking for it. Don't go provoking it. But just know that when you interact with others, conflict could be a byproduct of you spending time with that other person. So hopefully by now you found Joshua chapter 22. I'm going to read down through verse 12. Verse 12. "At that time, Joshua summoned the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said to them, 'You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you and have obeyed my voice in all that I have commanded you. You have not forsaken your brothers these many days down to this day. First time some of you have seen a windmill run by water, right? Go back to verse 3. "You have not forsaken your brothers these many days down to this day, but have been careful to keep the charge of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers, as he promised them. Therefore, turn and go to your tents in the land where your possession lies, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them on the way, and they went to their tents. Now the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given a possession in Bashan. But to the other half, Joshua had given a possession beside their brothers in the land west of the Jordan. And when Joshua sent them away to their homes and blessed them, he said to them, go back to your tents with much wealth and with very much livestock, with silver, gold, bronze, and iron, and with much clothing. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brothers. So the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned home, parting from the people of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the land of Gilead, their own land, of which they had possessed themselves by command of the Lord through Moses. And when they came to the region of the Jordan that is in the land of Canaan, the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by the Jordan, an altar of imposing size. And the people of Israel heard it. And they said, behold, the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built the altar at the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region about the Jordan on the side that belongs to the people of Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, the whole assembly of the people of Israel gathered at Shiloh to do what? To make war against them. So Joshua, you get the picture here? Joshua commends the soldiers of the two and a half tribes who kept their commitment to fight with their brothers until they had conquered and promised and possessed the land that had been promised to them. Moses had given the two and a half tribes property on the east side of the Jordan River at their request, but commanded their soldiers to cross the Jordan River to help their brothers conquer the rest of the promised land. And it took them 7 years to do conquer. And these soldiers were faithful to complete the task. They did not give up until the job was done. So Joshua commends them and tells them to return home to their families on the other side of the Jordan River. And Joshua makes one request. Joshua encouraged the soldiers to remain faithful to God. The soldiers returned home with much wealth and the gratitude of their nation. It's a great time for the Israelites. After 7 years of fighting their enemies together, now they are enjoying the victory. There is peace and prosperity, and all is well. But that's about to change. Remember the conflict? And when they came to the region of the Jordan that is in the land of Canaan, the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by the Jordan, an altar of imposing size. And the people of Israel heard it and said, behold, the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built the altar at the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region about the Jordan on the side that belongs to the people of Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, the whole assembly of the people of Israel gathered at Shiloh to do what? Make war. Make war with their brothers. Make war with these brothers who set aside spending time with their family for the last 7 years to help them what? Defeat the enemies of God in the land of Canaan. And after fighting together, now they're about to fight each other. They're on the verge of a national war. Why? Because one group did something that the other group misunderstood. The two and a half tribes built an altar which seemed to the others would be an offense to God. And this is the way that most conflicts start. There's a misunderstanding. You know, one of the abilities that God has not given us as human beings is to read each other's minds. Sometimes I'm really thankful for that, and other times I wish I had that. Because unless you tell me what you're thinking, I have no idea. Unless you tell me that there's a problem between you and me, I have no idea because I can't read your mind. I can't read your heart. Only thing I can read is your actions. But we can't reach each other's minds. So as you're dealing with people, anticipate that some misunderstandings occasionally come. And don't be surprised at the friction that arises. There are two journal entries from a wife and her husband which reflect on the same day's events. This is the wife's journal. Tonight my husband was acting weird. He's a man, right? Okay, ladies, you can thank me for that later. We had plans to meet at a nice restaurant for dinner. Conversation wasn't flowing, so I suggest we go somewhere quiet so we could talk. He agreed, but he didn't say much. I asked him what was wrong. He said nothing. I asked him if it was my fault that he was upset, and he said he wasn't upset, that it had nothing to do with me and not to worry about it. On the way home, I told him that I loved him. He smiled slightly and just kept driving. When we got home, he just sat there quietly and watched TV. He continued to seem distant and absent. Finally, with silence all around us, I decided to go to bed. About 15 minutes later, he came to bed. But I still felt that he was distracted and his thoughts were somewhere else. He fell asleep. I don't know what to do. Here's the entry from his journal. Rough day. Boat motor wouldn't start. Can't figure out why. She misunderstood her husband's actions, which led to unnecessary tension in their relationship. However, he could have helped the situation. You know how? By communicating what was on his mind. To be sure, at certain times, you can expect tension in your relationships, but good communication can alleviate much of that. Men, listen up. We need to be more communicative to the women in our lives, okay? Because they can't read our minds. Now, I know that it says that women, you know, generally they speak 50,000 words a day, and we as men, we speak 150 words a day, and we think we've done a good job, but we really haven't. So when there's something on your mind, when there's something on your heart, your wife cannot read your mind. So tell her. Tell her why it is that you're distracted. Tell her why it is that there's something that's bothering you. And make sure that you communicate with her very clearly that it's not her, that you still love her, that it's about something that happened during the day, and tell her what it was, no matter how silly it may sound. I mean, it's pretty silly, right? For this guy, rough day, boat motor wouldn't start. Can't figure it out why. And he's been carrying this. And he carries this into what was supposed to be a special time with him and his wife. And he ruined it. Wasn't as special for her as maybe he thought it was. You see, if the 2.5 tribes had communicated their intentions ahead of time, they could have avoided coming to the brink of this national war. Now later, they will explain why they built the altar. And it makes good sense. But they could have prevented a lot of heartache if they had just explained their intentions ahead of time, before they built the altar. Do you get the picture? Do you understand? You see, people are like horses. You can lead them just about anywhere, but they don't like to be startled. And if you surprise them, you're likely to get kicked. Communicate your intentions ahead of time. Don't startle people if you don't want to get kicked. So if you don't learn anything else this morning, learn that. Don't startle people if you don't want to get kicked. Now, it's interesting that parents of preschoolers learn this very quickly. If parents establish a bedtime routine, their children won't fight it so much. For example, if a parent says to a child, "Bedtime is in 30 minutes. First, I'll read you a story, then I will give you a bath, and then we'll pray together, and after that, you'll go to bed." And when that happens, children usually accept that. But if a parent tells a child, "Go to bed now," without any warning, that child is likely to resist. People of all ages don't like to be startled, so communicate your intentions ahead of time. But we don't always communicate well. So at some point of time, expect tension in your relationships. And when that happens, not if, but when it happens, here's the second point of the roadmap. Express truth with love and grace. Communicate facts with love, respect, and grace. Speak with candor and compassion. If I had a dollar for every time in my 50-plus years of ministry that I've counseled with people, especially married people, and someone said to me, you know, the problem is she never does this, or the problem is he never does that. And I asked that person, so do you really do that all of the time? Well, no, Pastor, not all of the time. Well, she said, you never do that. No, that's not really true. Let me share with you sometimes when I did something different. It's like, oh, okay. Well, so does she do that all the time? Yep. So I say to her, do you do that all the time? Oh, no, Pastor. No. He gets it wrong. Here, I've done this, and I've tried this, and I've done. And so, you know what? Communicate the facts. And when you say to somebody, you always do this, you never do this. More importantly, when you come to those words, it's because you're leaving out facts. Facts that could change the whole situation. That is, by the way, Counseling 101, in case you're wondering, okay? Speak with candor and compassion. And this means do not respond in anger. Do not confront someone when you're mad. Man, I wish I could really get a handle on that. Don't speak or act in a rage. The people of Israel are angry with the 2.5 tribes, so they gather for war, and they send their leaders to confront the offenders, saying things that they later regret. We're going to pick it up in verse 13. Joshua 22, verse 13. I'm going to read down through verse 16. Then the people of Israel sent to the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh in the land of Gilead, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and with him 10 chiefs, one from each of the tribal families of Israel, every one of them the head of a family among the clans of Israel. And they came to the people of Reuben, the people of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh in the land of Gilead, and they said to them, thus says the whole congregation of the Lord, what is this breach of faith that you have committed against the God of Israel in turning away this day from following the Lord by building yourselves an altar this day in rebellion to the Lord? What are they saying? What are you doing here? What's going on? And they falsely accuse the 2.5 tribes of Israel of something very, very painful, a breach of faith and rebellion. There's no truth to either one of those. But what are they doing? They're comparing the actions of these 2.5 tribes of Israel to some of the worst rebels in Israel's history. Listen to verses 17 and 18. Have we not had enough of the sin at Peor, from which even yet we have not cleansed ourselves, for which there came a plague upon the congregation of the Lord, that you too must turn away this day from following the Lord? And if you too rebel against the Lord today, then tomorrow he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel. They said, listen, we've already been through this. We've already walked through this water, and now you're putting us in a position of having to do it all over again. Now, the sin at Peor is a reference to the place where the men of Israel committed immoral actions with the women at Baal's shrine. We see that in Numbers chapter 25. And Phinehas had caught an Israelite man committing this immorality with one of these women and ran them both through with a spear. And when he did that, that ended a plague that God had sent on the Israelites because what? They were falling into adultery. They were following false gods. They were worshiping false gods. And this ended up killing 24,000 Israelites. And now Phinehas and the other leaders are afraid that God is going to strike them again. So they confront with anger those they perceive to be rebels. And then they make them an offer. Look at verses 19 and 20. But now if the land of your possession is unclean, pass over into the Lord's land, where the Lord's tabernacle stands. and take for yourselves a possession among us. Only do not rebel against the Lord or make us rebels by building for yourselves an altar other than the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, break faith in the matter of the devoted things, and wrath fell upon all the congregation of Israel, and he did not perish for his iniquity? Wow. Now remember, Achan, back in Joshua chapter 6, was the man who took some things from Jericho, and he did what? He hid them in his tent. And God judged the whole nation of Israel as a result of that one man's rebellion, that one man's disobedience, because God had declared, remember, that everything in Jericho should be destroyed. But what did Achan do? What he wanted to do. He disobeyed. And as a result, Israel was defeated in their next battle at Ai, with 36 Israelite soldiers losing their lives. And now, here they are, fearing defeat again for the entire nation. And so Israel's leaders are accusing the 2.5 tribes of rebellion. This is no way to resolve conflict, making false accusations in anger. When you do this, it makes you look foolish. Because anger never makes things right. So avoid it whenever you are trying to resolve conflict. More than that, avoid wrong assumptions, which leads to false accusations. I'm going to say that again. Avoid false assumptions, because it always leads to false accusations. Do not automatically assume the worst in people. Instead, ask before you accuse. Communicate before you assume, hoping for the best. This is what the leaders of Israel failed to do, and it almost led to a terrible result. In fact, had it not been for the way the 2.5 tribes responded, they would have killed each other. So how did the 2.5 tribes respond? I'm going to read starting in verse 21 down through verse 29. Then the people of Reuben, the people of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh said in answer to the heads of the families of Israel, The Mighty One, God the Lord, he knows, and let Israel itself know. If it was in rebellion or in breach of faith against the Lord, do not spare us today for building an altar to turn away from the following of the Lord. Or if we did so to offer burnt offerings or grain offerings or peace offerings on it, may the Lord himself take vengeance. No, but we did it from fear that in time to come your children might say to our children, what have you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a boundary between us and you, you people of Reuben and people of Gad. You have no portion in the Lord. So your children might make our children cease to worship the Lord. Therefore, we said, let us now build an altar, not for burnt offering, not for sacrifice, but to be a witness between us and you and between our generations after us, that we do perform the service of the Lord in his presence with our burnt offerings and sacrifices and peace offerings. So your children will not say to our children in time to come, you have no portion in the Lord. And we thought if this should be said to us or to our descendants in time to come, we should say, behold, the copy of the altar of the Lord, which our forefathers made, not for burnt offerings, not for sacrifice, but to be a witness between us and you. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn away this day from following the Lord by building an altar for burnt offering, grain offering, or sacrifice, or other than the altar of the Lord our God that stands before his tabernacle. Wow. What? This is a good thing. They said, listen, the reason why we built this altar and the reason why we built it a little bit bigger was so that it could stand the test of time. So that when your children came to our children and said, why is it that you don't live on this side? You don't possess the land on this side of the Jordan. Are you rebelling against the Lord? Are you offending the Lord? We can say, no, look at the altar that we built. The altar that reminds us of the sacrifices and the offerings that we need to bring to him in our worship of him. It's a replica to be used as a reminder of the altar that stands within the tabernacle. That makes sense, doesn't it? It's a memorial for them to be able to use, to be able to tell their children, we're not separate from them. They're not separate from us. We worship the same God. We follow the same God. We obey the same God. We do what the same God tells us on this side of the Jordan as well as on that side of the Jordan. Makes perfect sense. If they would have just taken the time to be able to say to the people on the other side of the Jordan, hey, this is what we're going to do, it would have avoided a lot of conflict. There would have never been this misunderstanding. There would have never been these accusations. There never would have been these false assumptions. And so the 2.5 tribes respond with what? Love and respect and grace. And instead of going into attack mode, they calmly communicate their intentions. And that's what you and I need to do if we want to resolve conflict. Respond with love and respect and grace. Do not react and respond in anger. Avoid wrong assumptions and false accusations. Just focus on the truth and then speak the truth in love. You know, this was the case in the church at Ephesus. So Paul writes them a letter urging them to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. By doing what? Speaking the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4. You see, unity is sustained when people speak the truth in love. To resolve conflict, expect tension. Don't be surprised by it. Then express truth in love and with grace. And then, this is most important, exalt God jointly. Make it your goal to honor God in your conflict resolution. See God's glory in all your reactions and responses. As I've had the opportunity to be able to help people resolve conflict in their lives, resolve conflict in their marriages, that's always the end goal of this counselor, is to be able to, when it's all said and done, we can all give glory to God. Now, it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes you think you've reached that goal, and then later on down the road, you find out, yeah, that's not really the way that it turned out. Because why? Because human beings are involved. And some people just have to take it to a different level, which is sad. But this is what both sides did in Israel's conflict with the 2.5 tribes. As the 2.5 tribes respond to the accusations of Israel's leaders, they declare, go back to verse 22, the mighty one, God the Lord, he knows. And let Israel itself know. They exalt God and declare that he is the reason for the building of the altar, so that they and future generations would not forget him. And as a result, the leaders of Israel praise and exalt God as well. I'm going to start reading in verse 30. Read down through verse 34. When Phinehas the priest and the chiefs of the congregation, the heads of the families of Israel who were with him, heard the words that the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the people of Manasseh spoke, it was good in their eyes. Whew. Right? It worked out the way that it brings glory to God. It worked out. There's no national war now. There's no conflict now. It was good in their eyes. Verse 31. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the people of Manasseh, today we know that the Lord is in our midst, because you have not committed this breach of faith against the Lord. Now you have delivered the people of Israel from the hand of the Lord. Then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the chiefs returned from the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan to the people of Israel and brought back word to them. And the report was good in the eyes of the people of Israel. And the people of Israel blessed God and spoke no more of making war against them to destroy the land where the people of Reuben and the people of Gad were settled. The people of Reuben and the people of Gad called the altar witness, for they said, it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. Whew. Wow. Okay, they give glory to God. Jointly, they exalt God. And they thank the 2.5 tribes for keeping them from God's judgment. The national war would have been bad enough, but the hand of the Lord would have been far worse. And both sides sought God's glory more than anything else. Both sides sought God's glory more than anything else. More than one side being right, more than the other side being right. They both glorified God for what God had done in their midst. And they exalted God. They praised God. What? Jointly. What a beautiful, beautiful pictures. Both sides sought God's glory more than anything else. And that is what you must do if you want to resolve your conflict. Seek God's glory. Seek to exalt him. Seek to honor his name. For resolving conflict is not about who is right or wrong. It's about God getting the glory. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about God getting the glory. God's glory, God's honor, God's reputation is the ultimate goal in conflict resolution, especially in the way that we treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? So get in tune with God. Get in tune with God, and then you'll be in tune with others. Father, thank you for what it is that you have taught us as we looked here at Joshua chapter 22. Father, as human beings, conflict comes our way. It's unavoidable. But Father, there is a biblical way for us to be able to handle that conflict. And this conflict between the 2.5 tribes of Israel with the other 10 tribes of Israel, show us how it is that we can resolve our conflict in a way that brings glory to you, because that's the end result. It's not about who's right, not about who's wrong. It's about you getting the glory. So, Father, may we stay so much in tune with you that it helps us to stay in tune with one another. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song? All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. Next verse. All to Jesus I surrender, make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender. Savior, I surrender all. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all.
Have a great week and a great day in the name of Jesus.